Florida Midair claims four over the Everglades. The FAA decries the end of ASAP. And a Hawaiian judge says, not so fast, go. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, December 8, 2008. Officials in Florida believe two light planes collided in midair over the Everglades Saturday afternoon. A total of four people aboard the two aircraft are dead. The Miami Herald reports the wreckage of both planes was found early Sunday morning near U.S. 27 in Broward County. As of our deadline, the bodies had not been recovered nor publicly identified. The FAA does know that one of the planes, a Piper Twin with two on board, left Fort Lauderdale about 3:30 p.m., headed for a practice area near Opa-locka. The second plane, also with two occupants, took off from North Perry Airport, apparently with the same intent. Both were flying VFR. Check back often as details emerge at aero-news.net. Safety officials across a number of agencies are taking the airline industry to task for ending an important safety program. The Aviation Safety Action Program, or ASAP, or ASAP, allows pilots who observe safety problems to voluntarily report them in exchange for immunity from both FAA sanction and employment actions. The proper functioning of the program requires the cooperation of the pilots, their unions, the companies, and the FAA. The program started 14 years ago at American Airlines. That carrier's implementation was used as a pattern for similar programs elsewhere, including Delta. Over the past 2 years, both carriers, along with Delta subsidiary Comair, have discontinued the program over union allegations that companies have been punishing pilots who have reported problems. USA Today reports disagreements between the pilot unions and the airlines have turned ASAP into a bargaining chip. Acting FAA Administrator Robert Sturgill last month called the loss of ASAP disheartening. Bill Voss, president of Flight Safety Foundation, said, quote, "There are at least two sides to every story, but I couldn't care less about either. Safety systems do not belong on the bargaining table. There is simply no excuse," unquote. A federal bankruptcy judge has delayed a plan by Mesa Air Group to rebrand its Go Hawaiian Inter-Island service with the name of Aloha Airlines, the carrier it helped drive into bankruptcy. The Honolulu Advertiser reports Judge Lloyd King was critical of both Mesa, which settled charges of unfair competition with Aloha, and Yukaipa Companies, the former controlling shareholder of Aloha, which now controls the intellectual property rights, including the name. Mesa isn't commenting. Randy Kahani, Assistant General Chairman of District Lodge 141 of the International Association of Machinists, calls the agreement to use the name a scam. Quote, "It was the workers that built up the name. Let them do their own thing without the Aloha name," unquote. For its part, Yukaipa says there is no legal basis for denying it the right to license the Aloha name to Mesa, which it hopes will allow recovery of some of the $100-plus million it lost in the Aloha bankruptcy. Of the well over 100 space shuttle missions so far, the one planned by NASA this fall to repair the Hubble Space Telescope was one of the most complicated ever. Years of training and the development of new tools were part of the preparation to replace circuits on board Hubble, some of which were not designed for replacement in space. Shortly before Atlantis was scheduled to lift off to start the mission, a new series of technical failures beset the telescope, and NASA said the time needed for further training and parts testing would require putting it off until at least February of 2009. Now we have a hard date. NASA says Atlantis's STS-125 mission will now launch on May 12th. The 11-day flight will feature five spacewalks to refurbish and upgrade the telescope with state-of-the-art science instruments and repairing the science instrument command and data handling system. Coming up on ANN, deja vu, another Dreamliner delay. A lame duck DOT is still pushing slot auctions. And runway de-icer is in critically short supply. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3320.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 8th. I'm Paul Platt. Airbus sales chief John Leahy was criticized in 2007 for predicting that Boeing would face delays of at least 6 months in its 787 Dreamliner program. At the time, it looked like a questionable tactic to deflect all the criticism of Airbus for its handling of the development of its own A350 and A380 projects. Well, much to his competitor's chagrin, Leahy now looks in hindsight as if he were being kind, if anything. Boeing ended up delaying the 787's first flight three times and now faces doing it yet again in the wake of a 57-day strike by machinists. Citing unnamed sources, the Wall Street Journal says Boeing will announce later this month that first deliveries of the Dreamliner will be pushed off to summer of 2010, with the possibility of the aircraft's first flight not happening till late 2009. Quote, "The real issue right now is that Boeing wants to make sure it has a believable date before going back to customers with more bad news," unquote. Virgin Atlantic Airways CEO Steve Ridgway told the Journal his company is pretty fed up with the delays and says first flight and first delivery won't answer some important questions. Quote, "Nobody's talking about production run rates. Just getting the first ones delivered to a handful of airlines isn't the end of the story," unquote. President Bush is giving his final interviews, posing for his outgoing portrait, and has a new home bought in Dallas. But even though he has only about 6 weeks left in office, his transportation team is pushing ahead with Newark Liberty slot auctions that Congress have said are illegal and the airlines have said will guarantee lawsuits. In a three-hour meeting on Thursday, the Department of Transportation informed about 80 airline execs and their lawyers that the auction will include half-hour slots, good for 10 years, and that the bidding will start at $100 for off-peak hours and $10,000 during peak hours. Power Auctions President Lawrence Asubel says he expects those prices to be well exceeded. Another meeting was held Friday to discuss the bidding procedure. Delta Airlines responded with an official statement, quote, "The last thing the administration should do in its final days, especially in light of a flagging economy, is inconvenience passengers who have already booked flights, raised their fares, threatened jobs, and undermine the hundreds of millions in investments airlines have made in the New York area market," unquote. The DOT insists the slot auctions are the best way to solve congestion without shutting out new competitors needed to hold consumer prices in check. In a memo sent to airlines October 29th, the FAA warned of potential disruptions in air travel during upcoming winter months because of a shortage of the chemical used for de-icing runways. Quote, "It is possible that runways may not be able to be maintained to the same level as previous years during winter storms," unquote. Potash is a primary ingredient in runway de-icing fluid. Its supply was interrupted earlier this year because of a 99-day strike by Canadian mine workers. It's going to take months to reestablish former production levels. Cryotech, a major manufacturer, estimates this year's production of potassium acetate at only 2 to 3 million gallons. That's down from 9 million last year. The shortage has no effect on the supply of airplane de-icer fluid. That's a completely different product. The U.S. military scored a badly needed victory Friday in its quest to implement a full-scale ballistic missile defense shield. The Missile Defense Agency shot down a mock enemy missile, employing a synchronized network of sensors in what officials called the largest and most complex test of the missile defense system to date. A mock target missile was fired from Kodiak, Alaska at 3:04 p.m. Eastern Time. About 30 minutes later, an interceptor missile was fired from a silo at California's Vandenberg Air Force Base, under the direction of soldiers based at Fort Greely, Alaska. The two successfully collided off the coast of California minutes later. It's the first time the agency has been able to synchronize its network of varied sensor types and frequencies to successfully track, report, and intercept a single target. Without proper synchronization, the radars would have reported redundant targets. Pentagon officials say this test was very realistic and followed a trajectory and mimicked a launch similar to one the U.S. military believes could be a threat. Still ahead, a new memorial to the greatest generation. An imposter working on Qantas 747s faces time in prison. And state inspectors find inaccurate baggage scales at Tucson International. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, December 8, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. On Friday, President Bush signed proclamations establishing a World War II monument to those who fought in the Pacific Theater and commemorating the anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Before signing the proclamation, the president commented that the World War II Valor in the Pacific National Monument will serve as a reminder of the sacrifices the greatest generation made to protect the country. Quote, "But there's a broader purpose as well, and that is to remind generations of Americans about the transformative effect of freedom. One of the great stories during World War II was that people fought bitterly to defend our country and way of life, and then worked to help our enemies develop democracies according to their own cultures and their own history. Today, I am so pleased to report that Japan is a strong ally of the United States." Unquote. The monument will include 9 sites, 5 in Hawaii's Pearl Harbor area, 3 in Alaska's Aleutian Islands, and 1 in Northern California to honor Japanese Americans who were held in internment. The proclamation names the National Park Service as the general administrator of the monument. Sunday marked the 66th anniversary of the day President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "We'll live in infamy." A former Qantas Airways mechanic who lied about his qualifications to get his job is likely facing what a judge indicated will be a substantial prison term. New South Wales Judge Mark Marion said, quote, "This is someone who was not only carrying out maintenance on Qantas jets carrying large numbers of people, but was actually certifying work done by other people. It's the potential of the harm that could have been done." Unquote. 27-year-old Timothy McCormick pleaded guilty last September to fraud in obtaining the job with Qantas. McCormick passed himself off as a licensed maintenance engineer and was employed by the airline for 10 months, certifying the airworthiness of Qantas 747s. Sidney Jacobs, lawyer for the defense, described his client as a disturbed individual who attempted to live in a perfect parallel universe. A psychologist who evaluated McCormick described him as a pathological liar, according to the Sydney Morning Herald. Sentencing is expected December 17th. When you pack your bags for an airline flight, do you weigh them at home? Or do you trust the airline scales at the airport? Well, the Arizona Daily Star reports state inspectors removed over a dozen scales used by 2 airlines from service last week at Tucson International Airport. United's scales reportedly lacked security seals, while those used by Delta were improperly set up on pliable surfaces like foam or wood. Several read higher than they should have, while at least one showed lighter weights. Airlines use the scales to weigh checked luggage and, of course, to charge you for overweight bags. The scales will be out of service till they're repaired by state-approved technicians and the agency can then recheck them. United said this week it will suspend charging for overweight bags until the scales are recertified. Delta appears to have decided to hire its own contractors to check and recalibrate the scales. They'll still need to be certified by the state, so Delta will use other airline scales till that happens. Watch for more of these stories as various states check their airport scales following last month's shutdown of 14% of the scales used by airlines at LaGuardia and JFK over inaccurate readings. And finally, if taking your car out to do donuts in the snow is a favorite winter sport, don't do it at airports. It's early in the donut season, but already an Ohio motorist faces several charges after he was caught doing donuts on the runway of Beaver County Airport at 1:30 in the morning on September 22nd. Responding police say 24-year-old Michael Montgomery of Streetsboro, Ohio, claimed to have been authorized by the FAA to conduct braking tests on the runway. Montgomery was taken to the nearby Chippewa Police Station, where he's alleged to have been uncooperative, refusing to give police his name. He now faces charges of trespassing with a motor vehicle, fleeing and eluding police, defiant trespass, and two other traffic violations. Oh, and drunken driving. Police say after they got Montgomery to stop his car in the FBO parking lot, he almost fell down getting out of the vehicle, and a subsequent blood test showed a 0.357% blood alcohol content. That's over four times the legal limit. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves shares a scary near-miss story submitted by a listener. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Flack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.